My boss is terrible, period, I gotta punctuate it. I said I loved your shirt, but behind your back I said I hate it. The lightning strike me down, if I lied, me no one be around when my tongue's untied. Everybody says it's okay, all the little things I say with my big fat mouth. La 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 la.
Some of you are wondering why I'm waiting. I have a timer, so I don't keep you until 2 o'clock. But I'm gonna get every second I can out of it. So I waited till the video was fully over, so I don't get robbed of my time there. But as Pastor Paul said, my name is Jonathan. I have the awesome privilege of being married to the pretty blonde who led us in worship this morning. We have two. Yeah, it's the best thing I've ever done. But we have two wonderful boys. We've been coming here for a year this month. This may be our anniversary. We'll pretend it is. We'll go ahead and lie and say it was today. But if you don't mind, I know we've prayed about 100 times already today, but can we do it just one more time? It's not for you, it's for me. But Father, we just thank you for your goodness. God, I thank you for your being here with us. God, we just surrender this service to you. God, we give you our agenda. God, may this not be about me. May I get out of the way that you might speak to our hearts today. God, give us a heart to receive your word. Give us ears to hear. God, may we discern and understand what it is that you're saying. Jesus, this is only about you. And we thank you for it. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. So today we are continuing our series, My Big Fat Mouth. Pastor Paul said that if you have not seen any of the previous weeks, I encourage you to go to Facebook. They're powerful. You don't want to miss them. You can scroll back through and catch those there. This week is an interesting one. It's on lying. And when I found out that that was what I was going to be speaking on, it's like, I've never really talked about that before. And I kind of had a feeling that it might step on some people's toes and it might be uncomfortable. What I did not anticipate is how it was going to step on my toes, that I was some people. As I began preparing for this, I really began to realize, confession, don't boo me off the stage, but I'm a liar. Like it's infiltrated my life in so many areas that I didn't even realize. And I'm not just your average liar. I feel that I'm an exceptional liar. I'm pretty good at it. If it were a sport, I would be very competitive. In fact, I'm going to embarrass myself, air my dirty laundry, tell you a story of how good of a liar I am. I can actually lie without lying and make somebody believe something without saying anything. I'll give you an example. My mom was moving a couple years ago, and she's not here. She's going to see this on playback. She's going to watch it later. This is her first time hearing, so Mom, I'm sorry. we'll talk about it later, I guess. But she was moving, and she was going to hire some movers or gave me the option, hey, do you want to hire a couple buddies? I'll pay you all instead. So we chose to move. I was driving the truck, and her new house had this real big branch that went over the driveway, and we were worried about getting the truck under it. And pulling in, everybody kind of looked and made it under just by the skin of our teeth, no big deal. Well, that was loaded down. So leaving after a full day of moving, we had unloaded the truck. The weight's gone. The truck's raised up a little higher. We go to leave. I'm going to return the truck. I'm driving out. And when I tell you that I hit this branch, it stopped the truck. Like it just boom, stopped everything and put a giant hole in the top corner of this U-Haul or wherever. Penske could have been somewhere different in case anyone's watching for legal reasons. But it put a hole in the top. And we did not take out the insurance on the truck because I have a CDL. I'm a professional driver. There's no need for me to take insurance on a vehicle when I've driven things much bigger. So my wife immediately is freaking out because she is the type that will go in crying and be honest and say, I'm so sorry. So I give her the instructions. When you get in the parking lot, hide. I don't want anyone to see your face. I'm not going to lie, but let me handle the situation. So we pull in and I decide, what would someone who was being honest do that found this hole after they got home? They would probably confront the situation. So I pulled in and I see the guy staring at it already. And I immediately get out and say, well, I see that you've noticed the giant hole in the truck you gave us. And the guy said, yeah, what happened? I said, I don't know, man, but let me show you something. And I brought him around to the back and I pointed out how you could see daylight through there. And I said, you know, we're lucky it didn't rain because this big hole could very easily get people's stuff wet. Like we should probably get that fixed. He said, you know, I'm so sorry. I'll get that taken care of. So, well, if there's nothing else you need from me, I'll be leaving now. And so I technically didn't lie, but I lied. So there's my confession. But I see some of you are judging me. You're like, I'm not sure that this guy qualifies to talk to us. But before you go and judge, we're going to have a litmus test of how honest you all would like to be. If you don't want to participate, you don't have to. But how many of you would be bold enough to say, you know what, in the last 24, 48 hours, I think I've probably told a lie? Is there anybody brave in here? Like, three of you. That's awesome. Well, look at your neighbors that didn't raise their hands and say, chances are you're not telling the truth. Because statistically, on average, we lie four times every single day. The average person, now that's not all of you, but most of us, four times a day will tell a lie. In fact, the University of Massachusetts did a study that said 60% of people can't meet someone new and have a 10-minute conversation without telling at least one lie. And we laugh and we think that's absolutely ridiculous, but I started thinking about it. I'm like, well, I don't lie to people I meet. But then how many have been in that awkward conversation? You ask them, oh, where are you from? It's Smithsburg. It's like, oh, yeah, I've heard of that. And you have no clue where they're from. Sometimes it's just little things. I do that all the time. Or people talk about a song. I'm like, oh, yeah, I've listened to that. Have no clue who it is that they're talking. We're just trying to be polite, right? But we find humor in that. You know, we tell the story, but the reality is I wonder what God thinks about it. What is God's stance on lying? And it says here in Proverbs 12:22, says that the Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in those who tell the truth. He detests lying lips. You know, in the Hebrew, that word detest actually means it makes nauseous. It's such a strong word that the sentiment is it physically causes you to be sick. The Lord uses verbiage that says, I so detest lying that it makes me nauseous in my stomach. Well, I don't know about you, but I just confess to being a liar. That doesn't make me feel very good about myself. But I love the Apostle Paul in Ephesians. He has this to say about lying. He says, since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. What's he say? Throw off your old nature, put on your new nature, be like God, and quit lying. Well, I don't know about you, but that sometimes is easier said than done. And there's an old Southern preacher who was quoted as saying this, you may never be more like the devil than when you're telling lies. That's a strong statement. You may never be more like the devil than when you're telling lies. And you know, it seems like Jesus may actually agree with this. In John 8:44, he says this when he's talking about the devil. He says, he, the devil, was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. He's a liar and the father of lies. Lies is his native language. You think maybe this is why God uses the verbiage that he detests lying? Because his spiritual enemy, our enemy, the great deceiver, the prince of darkness, his number one weapon is deceit and it's lies. You know, I think that he does that to pull us from the freedom and the truth that is found in God. And I believe he has a strategy that he uses lies to deceive us. And it seems really simple. This isn't going to be an aha moment. It's kind of a natural progression. But one of the first things that he does is simply gets us to lie, gets us to speak his native language, the originator of lies. And sometimes it can be big. It can be we wrecked a truck and we don't want to get in trouble. But sometimes it's something as simple as an exaggeration. You know, I played football in high school. I played a game of semi-pro until I figured I couldn't hack it. But I had scholarships, and the further away that I get from high school and the harder it is for anyone to look up any credible information, the better at football I was. You know, I tell people I had a full ride scholarship, and I did, kind of. I had a full athletic scholarship. The athletic scholarship didn't cover 100% of the tuition. There was a little bit left over, but I did have a full athletic scholarship. But I tell people, yeah, I had a free ride to play football and college. Well, that's mostly true, right? It's 99% true. But I figured explaining the nuances of scholarship and tuition to people is just a little bit ridiculous. They don't really need to know that. But you know, 99% of the truth is still 100% a lie. It's still not fully the truth. And it's funny how easy, when we step into our sinful nature, that we're willing to speak the devil's native language. And first he gets us to lie, but then he gets us to lie to ourselves. And we tell the lie, but then we begin to rationalize it, right? What I'm doing. You know, it's not that big of a deal. They don't need to know. The reality is I had most of the scholarship. I was good. I played center, you know, whatever. And when I say that I played semi-pro football, I did play semi-pro football. It was a registered semi-pro team. Now, I don't know if y'all have ever seen, like, the replacements. We were the most janky, like, the field that we played on, it was absolutely ridiculous. We had a chiropractor who sponsored us because we got beat up so bad we needed adjustments. Like, we played other teams and they crushed us, like 77-14. But it was a semi-pro football team. It sounds a little more glorious when we embellish it, but what's the big deal, right? It doesn't hurt anybody. We're not killing babies because I'm saying I played football. Like, it doesn't make me a bad person to embellish just a little bit, right? But that's the rationalization that we have, because it seems like it's not that big of a deal. We'll begin to lie to ourselves. You know, another lie I tell myself, since Kareth and I have been married, with the exception of very few months, I've had a gym membership to Planet Fitness. And I know it's really hard for y'all to tell in this shirt, but I don't go to Planet Fitness. Like, she literally just this week said, if you're not going to go, we need to cancel this membership. We've been paying $20 a month for 4 years. But what's my response? You know, I've really been thinking about it all week long, and I think Monday is the day. I can tell you right now, I got a really full day of work tomorrow, and we're going on vacation next week. I'm not getting up tomorrow and going to Planet Fitness, but I'm not canceling that membership either, because maybe next Monday I'm going to go. I lie to myself. I've created this filter that I believe. I see, you know, the best intentions. But did you know that sometimes those lies and those filters can come through hurts? Did you know that? Take an example. This is a made-up story, but say there's a young girl and she's abused by an older man in her life. And at a young age, she makes a couple what science would call bitterroot judgments, right? So she makes a decision in that moment that is a bitterroot judgment is typically always followed up by an inner vow. Let me explain. An inner vow has verbiage to it. It looks like never statements or always or every time you do this. Or I'm from Kentucky. Please don't judge me, but we say, all the bad drivers you see are from Indiana. Because we see two bad drivers with an Indiana license plate. Somebody makes a bitterroot judgment that people from Indiana don't know how to drive. It's followed up with the inner vow of everyone from Indiana is a terrible driver. Now, I know I have friends on this side of the bridge. They say the same thing about Kentuckians, so it goes both ways. We are better at basketball, that's undisputed, but I digress. Going to get booed off the stage here. But you take this girl, she's been abused, and what that inner vow and that bitterroot judgment could look like is men are unsafe. All men are unsafe. They want to take advantage of you. And not only are men unsafe, but women are weak. She got taken advantage of. She couldn't defend herself. So there comes this bitterroot judgment and this inner vow that shapes a lens and a filter that she views life through for the rest of her life. Where her inner vow is, I'll never trust another man. Men are unsafe, you can't trust them. And women are weak creatures, I don't want to be like one. So there comes this brokenness of the feminine, and she tries to mask it in masculinity. Men are tough. Her identity begins to shape in that. Does that make sense? Do you see how a hurt can create a lie and a filter that we go through? Oftentimes, it doesn't even have to be hurts. It can be perceived things. Now, my dad's here this morning, and I have his permission to talk about this. My dad was very much a present father. He came to every one of my football games. He drove the bus for our football team. He videotaped in the stands our games for, like, playback. He was at everything growing up. I went to private Christian school affiliated with a church, and he worked at that church. I have one specific memory as a child, like probably 9 o'clock at night, wanting to go home, begging for his attention. He was a business administrator working on a big project, trying to get it done. And I remember laying under his desk being like, "Dad, can we please go home?" And he said, "You know, I have to get this done." Well, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but children aren't always the best at interpreting emotions and knowing how to process them. At a young age, I made a decision that what my dad was working on was more important than me, that took precedence over me. And what I've realized later in life and going through some things is that it affected the way that I viewed God. I always felt like distant from God. I didn't feel this intimacy where God was concerned because I felt like, in all honesty, he loved me, and I get that. But the reality is he probably has some things that are a little more important than me. Maybe there's some starving children in Africa or someone with cancer or something that is a little more pressing. And because of this lie of a perception that I had, that my dad was too busy or had things that were more important than me in this one instance, I equated that with God. Did you know we do that often? God created the family unit, and I don't have time to get into this. That's a whole nother sermon. But oftentimes, hurts with men, with fathers, reflect how we view God. Hurts with siblings, companionship. Jesus is our friend. It affects how we view Jesus. With the Holy Spirit, he's a comforter. So are mothers. They're comforters. They're teachers. It's with the Holy Spirit comes. And we realize that God created us to reflect his image. The family unit reflects that. And oftentimes where there's hurts concerning fathers, we have issues believing lies about God. Where there's hurts with siblings, we have issues believing lies about Jesus. And where there's hurts with mothers, we have issues believing lies about the Holy Spirit. And those lies create filters. The more that we tell them, just like I believe I'm going to go to Planet Fitness, we create these filters. And the third thing that happens is we begin to live out the lie. I've invested hundreds of dollars into Planet Fitness. I should get stock in return because I can count on one hand the amount of times that I've gone. But I've come so far into that I've lived out the lie. There's so many things in our areas, whether it's the perception or whether it's intentional. Some of us know that we're living a double life. For some of us, it can be, I'm that big Christian guy at work. Everyone knows I go to church, but at home when I'm alone, I'm addicted to pornography. I'm an alcoholic. I'm abusive to my family. Maybe we live this false Instagram life, right? We're really broke as a joke, but we sneak over to the airport and take pictures by private jets. I have a friend of mine who works for a guy that has a private jet. He's in his 30s, lives in his parents' basement, has a credit card with his mom's name on it, and takes pictures on the jet all the time, and has a couple thousand Instagram followers that thinks it's his. They talk about how he travels and does this and that, and I know him personally. It's all a farce. Some of us, we have that Pinterest mom thing going on, right? Where we take pictures for the 8 seconds that the kids look great in their outfits and there's no food on it, try and post like everything is going good, or it's the marriage that we want people to think is perfect, but go home and sleep in different beds. And, you know, living a lie can be very dangerous. And what I'm about to say is probably my greatest fear when it comes to living a lie. There are people in this room, there are people who are watching online who honestly believe and think that they're a Christian, that they're living right. But in reality, if you were to get down to it, if Jesus were to come back today, it wouldn't go. And we can do some things right. We can go to church. We can read the Bible on occasion. We can show up and do these things. But the Bible says in 1 John 2, verse 4, it says, "Whoever says I know him but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in that person." Now, I know Pastor Paul said at the beginning of the service in Romans that absolutely nothing can separate us from the love of God. And let me tell you, that's true. We're not saved by works. We're saved by grace. But can I tell you, when you understand grace, grace looks like works. There are things that we do to change, to take on the nature of God, to begin to walk those things out. And we love you way too much for you to come in and think that just one time saying that you're a Christian, just coming to church once a month or having a small group is enough. It looks like relationship. It looks like walking things out. And I know this because I lived a double life. pretty much my whole life. Growing up, I was a pastor's kid. I grew up in church. There was an understanding. I was in church all days. And so there was this feeling of, well, he's living right. I knew the right things to say. I knew the right things to do. I knew how to put on the front so that it looked like everything was kosher. But in reality, I had no personal life. I didn't pray alone unless I was in trouble. I didn't read my Bible unless it was in Bible class. I was a junior Bible quiz champion in school. Like I had things memorized, but I didn't walk it out. Some of you have no clue what that is. Good for you. But I lived the double life. And I'm thinking about this. It's like, God, lying has been such a prominent thing, but why? Why is it so easy for us to embellish? Why is it so easy for us? And we all have different motives. Like if Kareth were to lie, it would probably be to not hurt your feelings. Yeah, that looks great on you. Yes, your food was good. Like if I lie, it's way more selfish than that. I'm trying to save me. I don't want to be in trouble. I will lie to avoid conflict. But the truth is sometimes the best relationships are on the other side of conflict. I'll lie to avoid getting in trouble. But the reality is you have to continuously remember those lies and create new ones and build on it. And it causes so much stress that the reality is it's not worth the trouble. But we lie in reality because at the base of it all, we really don't trust God. Somewhere in it, at the root of why we lie, we believe that our lie, that our circumstance is better than God's truth for our lives. We believe that somehow by us lying, whether it's to avoid those situations we talked about, or if it's those lenses of hurt, and it's a desperate act of protection because going through the pain is too great, we believe that our lies are better than what God has. You know, let me make it simple. The devil is the father of lies. Lies are his native language. He lies to deceive us, to keep us from freedom, to keep us from truth. And we believe that truth is a person and that person has a name. His name is Jesus. And the Bible says in John 8:32 that you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. See, truth brings freedom. Lies bring bondage. Let me say that again. Lies bring bondage. Truth brings freedom. And the devil wants us to tell lies, to believe lies, and ultimately to live out lies so that he can prevent us from walking in the truth and the freedom that God has for us. But, you know, God has a plan as well. His plan is very simple. It's twofold. Number one, we confess our lies, we confess our sins so that we can be forgiven. He says in 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins before God, he is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So when we repent before God, what does he do? He forgives us, wipes the slate clean, casts your sins into the sea of forgetfulness. As far as the east is from the west, he remembers them no more. There's not some tally, there's not another strike against you. You are fully and completely forgiven. But you know, that's where most of us stop. We just say, okay, God, I'm sorry, and we try to move forward. But can I tell you that there's a second piece that is vital? You cannot make it successfully through life without this second piece. It's one, we confess to God for forgiveness, but two, we confess to people for healing. Healing is an important part of moving forward. And it says in James 5:16, to confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that what? That you may be healed. You know, one of my best friends, he's better than me in every way. Like it amazes me how vulnerable he is in his pursuit for the Lord. But it didn't used to be that way. And at some point he was living that double life. He was married, he was trying to serve the Lord, but in the background he was addicted to pornography and nobody knew it. And so he had tried this first step. He'd asked God for forgiveness so many times, but he kept falling back into it. And finally, the reality of confessing before people that we might be healed came to him. So he decided that if he was going to go all out, he was going to do the hardest thing he needed to do. And he purchased this software that you download onto your devices. It's called Covenant Eyes. It kind of keeps track of what you look at. But one of the things it requires is an accountability person. If you search something that you shouldn't, it sends it to them. This man so desperately wanted to be free from the bondage that he was in that he called his mom and said, Mom, listen, this is what I've been struggling with. Now, I don't know about you, but you really got to want to be free to call your mom and have that discussion. But he gave that password to his mom and he made her the accountability person, because I cannot think of anybody that it would be more awkward with to slip up and to hold you accountable than your mom. But the reality is he understood the freedom that comes with confessing your sins one to another. You see, Jesus is truth and truth sets us free. The devil is a liar and the father of lies. Lying is his native language. And oftentimes he wants us to tell lies, to believe lies, to live lies, so that we create filters through which we view life. And as long as we view those lives through those filters, we will never walk in the truth. We will never be set free the way that God intended us to. He's the great deceiver. He deceives us from walking in the plan and the light that God has for us. But God has a different plan. His plan is for us to repent to him for forgiveness, and to repent one to another so that we might be healed, so that we might find freedom from the lies that we walk in. Amen. So we're gonna have some difficult conversation this morning, because none of us are unaffected by lies. Whether you're an exaggerator, if you're a fisherman in here, we all know how that goes. If you're a golfer, you know, kind of one in the same. I fish and golf, so I'm just in a lot of trouble. But the reality is, at some point in our lives, whether it's filters that we believe from hurts, whether it's exaggerations, whether we're just flat out doing something majorly wrong and we're lying to cover ourselves from it, the reality is lies affect us in every way. But here's the good news. God wants to set us free. God wants to bring us into the truth so that we can walk in the freedom that Christ has for us. Amen. So I'm going to ask everyone in this room, if you would just honor this moment, close your eyes, bow your heads, and we're going to have an honest moment before God. If you're in here and you know that hurts have affected you in your life, that you have filters, maybe someone was abusive to you, and maybe you have trouble associating God's goodness. Maybe you say, you know what, I see, like you said, I feel like he's got time for everybody else, but not for me. If you feel that maybe you've been believing a lie about God, can I tell you today, he wants to break that lie. He wants to replace it with the truth of his goodness. If that's you, would you just slip up your hand? You can put it up and put it back down. I see your hands. Thank you. Now, if you're in here and you say, you know what, I'm a little more like you. I just flat out lie to cover myself. I know that there's things that are flat out wrong in my life, and blatantly, I just lie because it's easier than the consequences. That's a hard one to admit, but you know what? The only way to freedom is to admit it. So if that's you and you're like me, you lie to cover for yourself, would you just slip your hand up? Thank you. I see those hands. Lastly, if you're in here and you say, you know what, man, I feel like I've been doing things right. I thought that I was living for the Lord, but you know, maybe there's some things in my life where I feel like I'm lacking fruit. I feel like I need to chase after him just a little more. You know, Hebrews says that we cast off every sin, but every weight that prevents us from running after him the way we should. If you're in here and you know that maybe you're not pursuing relationship with the Lord the way that you can I tell you, a new day starts now, that you don't have to continue to live that way, that you can walk out of this room knowing beyond the shadow of a doubt that if God comes back today, you are right with him. If that's you, can I see you raise your hand? Thank you, I see those hands too. We're just gonna pray together and then we'll be done. Father, we thank you for your goodness. God, I thank you that you so desire to set us free. God, that you bankrupt heaven, that you sent your son to die the most gruesome death in history. He paid the price for our sins. He bore the weight of our iniquities. God, the chastisement of our sin was upon him, God, so that we could have freedom, so that we could walk in truth, God, that truth could set us free, that we would be bound no more by the lies of the enemy. So God, right now, we just denounce every lie that we've come into agreement with. God, we take our hurts, we take the filters that we view life through, God, and we lay them at your feet. God, we say we want to view life through the truth of your son, God, through the truth of the freedom that you've promised us and proved through the cross. God, we ask that you would come into our hearts, God, that you would cleanse us of all sin, all unrighteousness, God, where we've dropped the ball of pursuing you. God, we take up our cross again. We choose to chase after you with fervor.
God, we want to be bold for you. We want to be an influence for you. God, make us people that produce fruit. God, may we be a light in this region, a light in the city. God, may Hillside be defined for how well they love other people. God, how well they chase after you, but how well they point other people to your cross. God, we thank you for your mercy. God, we thank you that even tomorrow when we're tempted to lie, God, that your mercies are new from day to day. God, that we can pick up tomorrow and go to Planet Fitness. God, we can pick up tomorrow and ask for forgiveness. Father, we thank you again that you're good. God, we declare that all hurts, all wounds are under the blood. God, that lying has no hold on us. And God, I pray that you would align our paths with accountability partners. God, there's wisdom in not telling everyone your stories, but we know there's freedom in telling the right person your story. So God, we ask that you would align accountability partners with us. God, people that we could trust, that would be for us, that would help lead us to you. God, that we could come boldly before, confess it. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name.